Sí, es sigo con uno. Let's pray. Gracious God, Father, we just pray that you speak to our hearts. The same challenge that you set me personally regarding this portion of scripture, we pray this assistance to take that challenge in mind. Bring them peace. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of faith, whose name we give you thanks. En esta mañana, this morning, I would like to invite you, quisiera invitar a que abran sus Biblias en Filipenses. Please turn to Philippians. We're going to see this love letter written from one friend to a group of friends. Vamos a ver esta carta escrita de un apóstol en sus Biblias. This letter was addressed to the Philippians. It's the healer of the Philippians. Un dato importante, esta fue la primera iglesia que se estableció en el mundo. Interesting fact is that this letter, this was established in Eastern Europe. You recall Acts 16. Paul and Silas were forbidden to go and continue preaching Asia, they turned, and they saw a vision of a man from Macedonia saying, "Come and help us." So they made their way, not by flight, not by river, or delta, but by boat. Esta es una iglesia que fue establecida por Pablo y dedicada a ese momento. Pero una visión y un hombre pidiendo ayuda que fuera. Y no tomó avión, sino que fue por barco y llegó a la ciudad de Filipos. So he landed by wind in the cities. He came to the city of Philippi. That's recorded in Acts 16. En Hechos 16 está registrado como llegó. Now this letter, Paul is going to bring to light the relationship of three things. Y Pablo va a la relación entre tres cosas: himself, Christ, God, and Holy Spirit, and the Philippians in relation to the city. Pablo va a establecer tres cosas: sí mismo, Dios, los hijos del Espíritu, y el Evangelio, la ciudad donde vivían estos hermanos. It's really a challenge to examine themselves, but even more to examine their acts, to examine their motives, their intentions. Y Pablo le va a hacer un reto a esta iglesia a que examine no simplemente sus hechos, sino sus motivaciones, sus intenciones. Paul is writing this while in prison, suffering for the cause of the gospel for which he was born. Pablo en prisiones, desde ahí, sufriendo por predicar el evangelio al cual él fue llamado. He explains to them and says, "I'm doing okay." Oh, you should see. You should see how the gospel is being propagated, even in the house of Caesar. Y él le dice, estoy bien. Ustedes no saben cómo se está predicando el evangelio en la casa de César. Y mis cadenas sirven para el beneficio de promover el evangelio de Jesús. And my chains have been used for the benefit of spreading the gospel throughout the entire world. says, I know that I'm waiting trial and my life is at stake. I may die. I survive. And he tells him, but for me personally, to die is gain. Y le dice, mire, yo sé que estoy esperando que el juez y mi caso se arreglen, pero que mi vida está en peligro. Y él le dice, pero mira, estoy apresurado, tengo un dilema. Yo sé que estoy a punto y puedo morir. O puedo ser perdonado. Pero para mí, dice Pablo, el morir es ganancia. Pero con el beneficio de ustedes, yo sé, y él está confiado que iba a sobrevivir a este caso. But he is reassured, he says, but you know, for you, because I need to see that fruit completed in you, this is not the end. But I will hold you in Christ. He wasn't suicidal. Él no tenía intenciones suicidas, sino que él sabía que estar con Cristo era mejor que estar en este mundo, en el beneficio de ellos, y para que se cumpliera el fruto de ellos, dice, voy a quedar acá y le voy a hacer. Now we come to the portion in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. We're just going to read this briefly, and we're going to get into it in the second half. This morning, thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to see four things, four statements that are the greatest statements ever written in any letter. And it's concerning the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so that's why we touch this morning. But we're going to get a taste of challenges. Someone can see me. Van a haber cuatro reflexiones acerca de lo que son Jesucristo. Cuatro reflexiones más maravillosas que se han escrito en el libro. Hicieron pensar en personas del Señor Cristo en esta mañana y luego vamos a ver cómo aplicamos eso a nuestra vida cristiana. And so we'll see what the application is in relationship to the gospel. So it's completed in verse 27. Leemos en Filipenses 1:7. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or in absence, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Striving together for the faith of the gospel. And not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that. For to you it has been given to you the gift of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here is in me. Dice así el versículo 27 de capítulo 1. Antes, pues, have to scroll. Pues en verdad estuve. Pues. The phone is smart, but I'm not as smart. So easier to have. Dice así el versículo 27 del capítulo 1. Solamente que os comportéis como es digno del Evangelio de Cristo. Y ahí está el reto. Para que, o sea, que vaya menos que esté ausente, oiga de vosotros que estáis firmes en un mismo espíritu, combatiendo unánimes por la fe del Evangelio. Y en nada que se opone, que para con ellos, que para ellos ciertamente es indicio de perdición, es para nosotros de salvación, y esto de Dios, porque a vosotros os es concedido la causa de Cristo, no solo que creáis en él, sino que también necesitáis poder, teniendo el mismo conflicto que habéis visto en mí, que no habéis creado. So the question is our conduct worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ? We have seen the position that we have in Christ. Is our condition La pregunta y el reto es: ¿estamos nosotros viviendo una vida de acuerdo al valor que tenemos posicionalmente en Cristo Jesús? O sea, es nuestra condición de ser creyente, como seguidor de Cristo, al cual la posición y las bendiciones que tenemos en Cristo. You see, salvation is not the target. Salvation is not the point of this embarkment. It's the beginning of the journey. La salvación no es el fin de nuestro viaje. Es el comienzo. You can't be saved and stay saved. Nosotros no podemos ser salvos y quedarnos conforme simplemente con la salvación. What is the purpose of salvation? ¿Qué es el propósito de Dios con la salvación? It is to bring to himself sons and daughters that look perfect. El propósito de Dios es traer a sí mismo hijos e hijas que se comporten conforme al Hijo perfecto, Señor Jesucristo. This is almost like looking at the blueprints of a coach. Es como ver los planes de un entrenador de equipo. Y él está dando aliento. Él dice, tenemos que hacer una cosa. Tenemos que seguir el plan. Y hay que tener perfecta obediencia. And so he's asking us, this is like looking at a blueprint of a coach. Coaching a team and giving them the blueprints, the strategy of how to be successful and fulfilled life. Designed by God. The principle is going to be love. The principle is love. El principio que vamos a ver es el amor. The pattern to follow is Christ. El patrón a seguir es Cristo. Make use of to live this life. El poder que nosotros vamos a usar para poder vivir esta vida is the Holy Spirit. Okay. And the purpose, what's the purpose of all this? What's the purpose of us coming in every Sunday? What's the purpose of Sunday school? What's the purpose of camp? What's the purpose of Friday night? To bring back. Let's get into chapter 2. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or deceit, but in loneliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. So he starts going into how is this life supposed to be lived out in the community of believers, not only a Philippi, but here in Charlotte, in the dorms, in New York. This is what it's supposed to be like. It's a life that has the fingerprints of God. We already saw this morning that he in the moment could live and pour himself out and make it. So, dice, de uno en mi pasado, de uno en cuatro, vemos cómo esa vida se debe de vivir y es marcada como huellas divinas de un creador amoroso, marcada por el amor. Y empieza Pablo a describir cómo es que esta vida se debe vivir, cómo se debe vivir, si no en Charlotte, en Honduras, en Perú, en Nueva York, en donde se reúnen las comunidades de Dios. But we get to the greatest statements. Let's go to verse 5. Let this mind, see, thoughts are very important. Thoughts dictate how we act, how we behave, what our choices are. El pensamiento, la mente es muy importante porque de ahí se deduce nuestro comportamiento, nuestros hechos, nuestra manera de pensar, nuestra perspectiva. And so he starts with the intentions. Never mind imitating what Christ did. Imitate. And we're given a window into the mind of Christ before he can pray. Pray one in the anger. Y podemos ver por una ventana especial la mente de Cristo antes de que él fuera encarnado en el cielo. It says, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. So there's the pattern. And we read in verse 6, who, being, not came to be, but already existed. And so it takes us to eternity, eternity past, and the glory that Christ had when he was designed. The universe that we see and cannot see. Nosotros podemos ver por una ventana la mente de Cristo. Dice así el versículo 6 del capítulo 2. El cual siendo en la forma de Dios, no dice que vino a ser Dios, sino que ya era. The Gospel of John says, in the beginning, the Word became. No, the Word was. God. The Word was God. The Word was with God. He was in the beginning. He already existed. Él ya existía. And it says that being in the form, that Greek word means in essence, he was equal. He is equal to God. He is God. So Christ, being in that same equality, in essence, to a supreme being, he did not consider that equality something to hold on to. The word in Greek, it's, you don't need to know the Greek, but it means something that you hold on to. Have you ever seen these contests where they put somebody in a booth that have $100, $10, and they put air and they try to get as much money as you can? Those folks hold on to that as tightly, grip that money as tightly. He says, Christ did not do that. He did the opposite. Dice que, siendo en forma de Dios, en esencia igual a Dios, que no estimó el ser igual a Dios como cosa que aprendiste, en un concurso, cogiendo el dinero posible más que uno puede, y está en un por aire, y alguien trata de retener ese dinero. Dios hizo lo opuesto, nunca retener. Y se llevó a Dios, se despojó de ese derecho. Now he did not cease to exist to be God. He ceased to use those privileges of God. Taken on the form of man. And so we see the pre-existing mind of Christ, he had a humility like no other. La mente de Cristo antes de ser encarnado era una mente humilde. Y antes de, en vez de retener el ser igual a Dios, se despojó de su derecho. How is love expressed in the greatest, one of the greatest or most known verses? For God so loved the world that he kept his son in glory? No. He gave. And so this is different. Human love just wants to receive and take and see what benefit I get. The body gives for example. When we love, we are shown divine qualities. When we love, love that. When we have no regard for self, we regard others. And so he's going to tie this to the conduct in the church. El amor divino, uno de los versículos más conocidos es, porque de tal manera Dios el mundo, que retuvo a su Hijo en el cielo, ¿no? Dice que lo entregó. Entregó a su Hijo, un ejemplo, para que todo aquel que le crea no se pierda, mas tenga vida. Y el amor divino, en contraste que el amor natural, el amor natural del ser humano solo quiere recibir, o inventar. ¿Qué beneficio puedo sacar para mí? Human love is egocentric. Divine love is God-centric, Christ-centric. Humility is born when we don't look for our own rights, our own benefits. When we have a disregard for self, but we're putting others before. And that is the humility or the mindset that Paul is trying to get to this team, the believers, because they have a Paul. Verse 7 dice, but made himself of no reputation. So not only did he not consider his equality, his essence to be God, something to hold on to. Look what he does. Look what Christ does. But he made himself of no reputation. He could have been born a king. In the middle of a scandal in the small town of Nazareth, a young virgin. A town where news spread like wildfire. When he gets rejected, in Mark chapter 6, it says, isn't this the son of? And it was customary to name the father. But to give him shame, they said, isn't this the son of Mary? Because we know what happened there. Also, was it his father? Who knows who his father is? So they tried to ridicule him and rejected him, again, alone. But he says he made himself. Dice que él se despojó a sí mismo, tomó una forma de siervo hecho semejante a los hombres. Y estando en la condición, se humilló a sí mismo, haciéndose obediente hasta la muerte y muerte de cruz. And so he was born the son of a carpenter. And he took on the form of a bond servant, and there we see his humanity, his incarnation. He says, and coming in the likeness of man, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient. See, the gospel is obedience. Not obedience to a set of rules, but to a believer, to a person. La salvación, we see, es obediencia, pero no obediencia. Seguir reglas, sino a seguir una persona. Un Salvador, que es Cristo mismo, que es Dios mismo. Dice así, y él se humilló a sí mismo. He humbled himself. It wasn't that the Roman guards humiliated him. It wasn't that his own people that were rejected humiliated. He humbled himself. No es que los soldados he's saying, have this mindset. Versículo 9 dice así. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him. And you miss it in that phrase. You miss it in that phrase. He humbled himself by becoming a human being, but he went even further. It says that he was obedient by coming to this earth, but he was obedient to the point of death, and death was. Crucifixion was saved for slaves and for traitors of the Roman Empire. A Roman citizen could not be crucified unless he was considered a traitor. crucifixión, la muerte por crucifixión, era reservada solo para los esclavos y los esclavos. He was a thieves. Él estaba ligado entre los esclavos. That's the magnitude of this humiliation. Y esa es la magnitud de su humillación, desde el punto de vista. Pero en el versículo 9, y nosotros si lo leemos rápidamente, vamos a perder lo maravilloso que pasa ahí. When we read verse 9, the first phrase, we're going to miss what happened between verse 8 and verse 9. Therefore, God has highly exalted him. And you don't say that about a dead person. You say that about a life. Esa frase que está ahí se dice acerca de una persona que no está viva, sino una persona que está viva. Dice, por lo cual Dios también le exaltó. And if you think, you know, Hispilea, lo va a perder. La resurrección está entremetida en el versículo 8 y el resurrection is tucked in. Between verses 8 and 9. God has exalted him. He raised him from the dead first. He sat him on the right hand of his throne. Dios lo resucitó de entre los muertos y está sentado a la diestra de Dios. And so with the eschatological point of view that one day he will be reigning for all to see, y con esta vista escatológica de que un día él está reinando en un futuro, it also makes us or challenges us to live on our salvation until that time when our salvation is complete. Con esa vista hacia el futuro, cuando el Señor Jesucristo regrese, nosotros estamos retados a vivir nuestra vida de salvación hasta que se suma en mi futuro. See, there are three P's to sin. There's the penalty of sin. Christ paid it all. Historical fact. There's a present power of sin. That is the sanctification that Paul is going to get to with the Philippians. But then there's going to be the presence and the power of sin. The presence, I'm sorry, of sin, which is future. We're still in the presence of sin. We're still amongst society similar to Philippi, who worshiped Caesar, and they called him Curios, which means Lord and Savior. Caesar demanded. We talk about himself. Caesar wanted to be worshipped as Lord and Savior. And so in that battle, he said, "We have a true Lord and a true Savior." And one day, everyone, look at this eschatological viewpoint. It says verse 9, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. Believers, you and I carry that name. When they call us Christians, we are carrying that name. We are called followers of Christ. And his name, which is a play of Dashua, right? It's a derivation of Dashua, Jehovah Shua. Yeshua, God, Yeshua saves. He will save his people. That's what his name means. El nombre de él significa Jehová salva. Un nombre de Jehová de Josué. Y Josué simplemente quiere decir en un idioma original que la salvación viene de él. And so he's declaring his deity again just by giving him the name that is above the name. That's what comes to the original and the name. Given that is given to men by which we can be saved. And then it says in verse 10, that in the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and those in heaven, and those on earth, and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and here's the purpose for all that he has been saying. for the glory. La unidad personificada en Cristo. Dice así el versículo 9, en este término. Unidad yo también que exaltó hasta el sumo y le dio un nombre que es sobre todo en el nombre de su Señor y de su día, de los que están en los cielos y en la tierra y del campo de la tierra. Y que todo el tiempo, todo el tiempo, confiese que Jesucristo es el Señor. Aquí está el propósito de todo el tiempo. Para la gloria de Dios. Versus God, Heavenly Father, we give you thanks because you have given us an example, you have given us the principles, you have given us the power to live a supernatural life. We want to be like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We know that we need to stretch out and strive to reach that goal. We never attain it here on earth. We are sure of that because we are still in the presence of sin. But help us to be living gospels of the love that was poured out for sinners, for enemies, for unworthy people. Help us to live your Christian life in the same way that our enemies correspond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Help us to love the unworthy. Help us to forgive. Help us to stir each other up to good works. We know we are not saved by good works, but we are saved to good works. Sometimes we forget Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. You prepare them. You are the workmanship. We are your holy. Give me thanks for the refreshments that have been prepared for us, Lord, and for the fellowship that we're going to enjoy. And that true fellowship is with our Savior Jesus Christ. In whose name we give you thanks. Amen.
Amen.